York City when a train derailed. Here's our correspondent Scott Pringle at the scene.
It was about 9:45 this morning when firefighters got a call of smoky conditions and a train off the tracks here. This was the A line. Now, this passenger says all of a sudden he felt several jolts.
Pandemonium everywhere and sparks of fire all over. And people were flying back and forth and, you know, hitting their heads on the metal.
Passengers evacuated themselves, and there's still a swarm of firefighters and first responders on scene here. This partial derailment has knocked out service to the A, B, C, and D lines in northern Manhattan. At 125th and St. Nicholas, Scott Pringle, New York.
A huge bundle of joy at Lexington Medical Center in South Carolina. Hospital officials say Colin Kiesler weighed in at 14 pounds, the biggest baby ever born in the Lexington Hospital. USA Radio News.
Coverage. This is USA Radio News.
Staples knows that when the leave behinds for your sales call get left behind at your office, it's time. When you need to print 30 pages and you're 300 miles from the office, it's time. And when the intern packed the Harrington file, not the Farrington file.
Ugh, my bad.
It's definitely time. And it's times like these when you can count on Staples. Access your files from email, the cloud, or USB, and then print, copy, fax, or scan them, and get back to business fast. Visit your nearby Staples. It's pro time.
Attention, all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty, because bladder control problems do not need to keep you from living an active life any longer.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Best of all, costs can be covered by Medicare or private insurance. Call 888-827-7549 to receive a free week's supply with your order. That's 888-827-7549. Call 888-827-7549.
Word to North Korea from President Trump.
The North Korean regime is causing tremendous problems, and it's something that has to be dealt with and probably dealt with rapidly.
The president not elaborating on that remark he makes yesterday while appearing after a meeting with India's prime minister. The president also issuing a new warning to Syria, as we hear from correspondent Bill Zimfer.
The president said that Syria will, quote, pay a heavy price if the Assad regime launches another chemical attack on his people. The statement released by the White House late Monday said preparations are underway in Syria similar to those that took place before an April chemical weapons attack. The president responded to that incident with a cruise missile strike on the airfield where the chemical attack originated.
U.S. News and World Report today ranking Boston Children's Hospital number one on the list of the nation's top 50 children's medical centers. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, Mom. I got your message. Do you need me to come home early?
Hi, dear. We're all doing fine. The kids haven't slowed down all day, and thanks to Blue Emu, neither have I.
But I thought you said...
Well, I tried your father's Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief Cream. It worked fast to relieve the pain in my achy muscles and joints.
Blue Emu, huh?
That's right. And it's odor-free.
Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis Relief. Beat the pain and enjoy life. Available at Walmart and Walgreens.
The European Union is fining Google more than $2.7 billion with a B dollars for skewing search results, the biggest fine the EU has ever imposed for anything. The EU started investigating Google 7 years ago and found that the internet colossus unfairly uses its all-powerful search engine to promote its Google shopping service over smaller-priced comparison websites. Along with that fine, the EU might also demand that Google change its search results so that it isn't seen to favor its own service. President Trump is formally nominating Chris Wray to head the FBI, as we hear from Mark Mayfield.
The nomination comes over a month after Trump fired FBI Director James Comey. Wray is a former U.S. Assistant Attorney General for the Criminal Division. If he's confirmed by the Senate, Wray will serve a 10-year term. Wray issued a statement after the nomination was formally submitted, saying he's honored and humbled. He expressed admiration for the men and women of the FBI and pledged to fairly and honorably protect the U.S. and uphold the Constitution.
And Russell Westbrook's historic season in the NBA is ending with an appropriate honor. The Thunder's star named NBA MVP after becoming the first player to average a triple-double since Oscar Robertson did it in 1961-62. Westbrook says he's humbled by the honor.
Something that I can never imagine, so I'm just very, very thankful and just happy to be here.
For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Hello, Jim. Can you hear me? Hey, Jim. Jim, can you hear me?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, I had the sound shut down. So it's Joe Peters and Jim Lynch, and we're going to kick off here in about 2 minutes. We're going to play a few of our sponsored commercials, and we'll be right back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Joe Peters back with Jim Walsh. And before we get started, they're asking me to do the weather. So I'm going to tell you, it's a really nice day out there. It's almost like fall. It's 76 degrees, low humidity, about 42. Just a little bit of wind. The flags are blowing, but not very hard. And what do we got coming up? We've got 80 degrees tomorrow, Wednesday. Mostly sunny, partly sunny on Thursday, 87. And it gets to get hot on Friday in the 90s and stay hot through the weekend, it looks like. So once again, it's Joe Peters, and this show is sort of a hybrid between my two. I do a Real Estate Matters show, and I do a 55-plus show, and this doesn't fit in the category of either one, but it fits in a category of general interest. We've just had the graduation of the Leadership Hunterdon class in the last week up at the golf club at Beaverbrook, and Jim Walsh was, although not the valedictorian, he was the guest speaker. Maybe you were the valedictorian. What do you think, Jim? Jim?
Hey, Joe?
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, now I can hear you. I had you shut off again. I shut the wrong thing off.
I'm having trouble hearing you, unfortunately. Did you want to try my cell?
Okay, try it now. Can you hear me now?
Yes, a little better.
Okay, so that sounds better. Jim, I was just telling the listeners we've just finished up the Leadership Hunterdon program, and that was its sixth class, I believe. And you were the guest speaker at the event up at Beaverbrook.
Yes. A week ago.
A week ago. How did that get bestowed upon you? Were you the guy with the biggest mouth, which, like I think I was the year before? Or?
I think it was a matter of just stepping up. We were asked by Chris, you know, to try to elect someone, and I think a lot of people were quite busy, and I could see the emails going about. So I decided to offer if no one else wanted to. So I was kind of that sacrificial lamb on my own behalf.
We had Nancy Mombe do it the year before, and she was probably of the entire class the most meek, and she did a very, very wonderful job of talking for 10 or 15 minutes, as you did as well. Tell us a little about, first of all, your background, so people know who you are and what your business is.
Sure. I am Jim Lynch. I am the owner and president of Regional Personnel Services here in Lebanon. We are the only recruiting and staffing firm located in Hunterdon County. We've been here for approximately 20-plus years, and we cover every industry from their needs in terms of temporary, temp to hire, and direct hire. So we cater to anyone in and about the greater Hunterdon County area, regardless of the industry.
Wow. Wow. I know I visited your offices when we first met, which was well over a year ago, because I think I helped convince you to go into leadership, Hunter, and I was very impressed with what you do. I didn't know, though, that you were the only one.
Yeah, currently we're the only company, the only firm that's actually resides, and we're located within the county.
Okay. Well, we'll get your phone number and contact information before we end, but if somebody was looking for a job placement, be it temp or permanent, or if somebody was looking for people the same way, you'd be the person to talk to if they were in Hunterdon County, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Joe. That's exactly what it is.
Well, great.
And
well,
just maybe to explain a little bit about, there's a lot of staffing firms out there and why we're different.
Right.
Is we take our time, we customize each search, and we take into account the family lives of everyone that we speak to in terms of on the candidate side, because they have families that are impacted by these very large career changes and decisions. So we clearly take the side of making sure the candidate is fully up to speed on the opportunity. And we try to learn, Joe, what's not on the resume is probably the best way to sum it up.
Wow. That's a good way of doing it. I know I've changed careers, not careers, but jobs within my career several times, and it's always it's sort of a time of uncertainty by the job seeker.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it is. And I've been, I come out of the pharmaceutical world. I guess I was in there for about 25 years, and it is one of the most critical and probably scariest thing that anyone can do is to make these mid-course corrections, if you will, or changes in their career path. And I think to have someone on your side like us to advocate for you, understand what we can understand about what's happening inside the potential client, so we can make sure that it's the right thing at the end of the day for the candidate. And then what happens is that we deliver a great employee. And our clients really like the fact that we take our time, and it's kind of eyes wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's no surprises after a couple of weeks, I think we did our job.
Wow. So all of your employees start as a temp to start with, or do you place people full-time right up front as well?
We don't. Not everyone starts as a temp. Some companies come to us and want to do a permanent right out of the box.
Okay.
And sometimes we give companies the option. They come to us and want to do a temp, but when we reach out and start speaking with some of the potential candidates, some of them will only accept a permanent position. So sometimes it's a little bit of back and forth, Joe, with the client to explain that the talent pool is going to be a lot different or could be a bit different or wider, capturing more potential candidates if they would be open to hiring someone directly. And that happens more often than you would think.
Interesting. So what is the job, the temperature of the job market in Hunterdon County at this point in time?
It depends on the time of year. It's a little bit quiet right now, but I always tell everyone, if you're on a search for either great talent or you're on a search for a great job, never stop.
Right.
But I think overall on a yearly basis, the fact that we're past the elections, and I think there's a lot of business owners that are now willing to, kind of stick their toe in the water and at least look for temporary help. They might not be committed to hiring someone permanently, but they know that they need to bring in some extra people because they probably stretched the internal resources, the people internally, too far. And I think there's a lot of companies out there right now that are starting to come up and come to us asking for some help to see what kind of talent is out there. And quite honestly, Joe, the marketplace changes almost daily because
right.
we can have a slate of five or six people presented to a client. And if they take their time, a week or two down the road, these people have taken other positions. So to answer your question, I think it is heating up, which is a great thing for the clients, for candidates, and for us.
Well, Jim, if somebody in the audience wanted, and we'll repeat this at the end of the show, wanted to talk to you, how would they get a hold of you?
They can either look and get knowledgeable about who we are by going to our website. It's www.regionalpersonnel.com, or call us 908-534-8113.
Jim, and I was very impressed to find out you had a PhD. I mean, it's you explained to me a little bit after the event the other evening. Why don't you tell our folks about your educational background and work background as well?
I took a circuitous route to where I am right now, but I think there was a seminal moment in my career where I began thinking about what I ended up doing is recruiting and looking into building up teams and staff. Years ago, I was at Novartis Pharmaceuticals, and I had gotten there with my PhD, having gotten it about 2 or 3 years before at Seton Hall University. And what I realized quickly, Joe, is that I really wanted to understand the bigger picture. I was doing a lot of very specific lab work for a cholesterol drug, but I really wanted to understand the bigger picture. And what I did was I started trying to navigate around the corporation to people who would talk to me about the bigger picture.
Right.
And this is what I counsel people all the time, and especially new people, you know, recent graduates going into a company and a corporate structure, is to try to find out where you fit in the bigger picture of the company. And it will bring discussions and networks to actually navigate and build a career path down the road. And what I did was, I was just very fortunate to, you know, ask a few questions of the people in marketing, and they brought me over and moved me over into a group that was kind of a think tank about what are we doing with these drugs that are 10 years from the market. And it was just a moment where they never thought of asking someone to come over from research, and I kind of broke the paradigm at Novartis by doing so. And it was interesting, Joe, because a lot of people that were in the research area, the research institute, after I made this move, came to me and said, how did you do that? And I started coaching and counseling some of the folks around me, some of the researchers that were in the area, as to how to think about it, how to go about it, and really do your homework to make sure that's the kind of move you want to make. So kind of felt there was a niche back then, and that was 22 years ago today. So not today, but recently.
The rest is history, as they
say. That's kind of how I've moved over and managed my career, and now I have to help others manage it by example.
Well, neat. And just in case somebody's tuning in for the first time and doesn't know a little about my background in 30 seconds or less, I grew up in a retail industry, did both IT and sales back into the retail vertical, and I've been in real estate now since, 20 years of first seven were as an investor. In the last 13, I've spent 13 wonderful years with Weichert, and this year I've just made a change over to Coldwell Banker. So I do residential real estate across both Hunterdon and Somerset County, and I can be reached at 908-238-0118 or go to my site, jpeters.com, and you could learn a lot of information on what's going on. So let's talk about, so much for who we are, let's talk about Leadership Hunterdon. I know last year was the fifth class, and that's sort of been my lucky number throughout my life, number five. We had probably nine people in it altogether last year, and there were two men. The year before, we only had one gentleman in it, a fellow from Embark, or CenturyLink, I should say. The product is Embark. How many men were on your team this year?
We had a great group of people, nine in total, Joe.
Okay, same as us. And how many were male?
It was five female, four male.
Oh, so you had a better mix than we did as far as almost 50-50. Interesting. I'm looking for the names. I'm going to read them off. There was Tony Clark. She's with Patton and Associates. Judy Goodwin, who just left the area to follow her husband's career back to New York City, although she says she'll stay involved. Jim Griffin, who is with he has his own business of restoration. I'm trying to remember the exact name of his business. Paul Davis franchise. Jason Jones, I believe he was with the Raritan Valley Community College.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Lanfrup, he's an investment manager in Flemington. James Lynch, who we're talking to. Karen McMahon, I didn't know her. She was with who? And I don't want to put you on the spot. You may not remember all. Do you remember who Karen was with?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, she was with Hunter and Radiological Associates,
that's
a satellite
right.
off of the Hunter Medical Center.
Great. And then Lacey Phelps was with Edwards.
Yep.
JD, okay. She's an investment counselor as well. And Cindy Twait, if I'm saying her name right. And who is she with?
She was with the Hunter Medical Center. She's the director of childhood development there.
Great. We had somebody from the Hunter Medical Center from RBCC. So we had a similar mix of backgrounds, but it was two guys and seven. Really interesting to work with women, and it was an interesting year, to say the least. I understand from talking to Lacey a little bit, there were times where, my God, are we ever going to get this done? But it looks like it got finished with a very nice-looking white paper. What were the experiences as you went through? I know you spent 9 weeks of 9 months of talking to people, a full day a week, and then a lot of homework assignment in the middle. Talk us through a little bit of what happened last year on this project.
It started on September 22nd, and it was kicked off with a two-day off-site meeting in Lambertville, where we had a full agenda of talks, speeches, and things from authors, from subject matter experts, and facilitated breakout teams and groups and things like that with some folks. And it was very interesting because there was probably a three-pronged approach here. It was to go learn and speak to many of the leaders in the county, learn about yourself and your leadership style. And the third piece was to produce the white paper, which was our theme was innovation and technology.
Okay.
And that was looking into what could we bring here or start here in Hunterdon County. In that sector, if you will, innovation. So it's pretty wide. So at the end of the day, the product is our white paper, which you saw last week that we published. And the process, can get a bit grueling in terms of pulling this together. And we decided, and I think this was effective, Joe, was we sat together and we basically built the table of contents very early in the process. And we each took a topic within that, and we walked away, we wrote it, and then we put it all together to see how it worked. So that part, putting it together, became was tough. But it was also, you had to have a lot of self-discipline to go off and do 40 hours of research and writing up your section of the paper.
Right.
And then you had to go make sure, once we put it all together, to see how it fit, to make it fit. And we had some great people helping us on that, too.
Well, great. I know we did the year before. We were asked to pick five segments that were the most growth-oriented in Hunterdon County, and we tried to put one subject matter around it. And the five segments that we chose were healthcare, agritourism. I mean, what draws people to Hunterdon County is typically the bucolic lifestyle and our farming and things based around that. Another one was retail and entertainment. Another one was real estate, which, guess what I did. And the last was education. And we developed a very interesting cross-mix view of Hunterdon County as we went through that. And I think everybody in that class came away with a totally different perspective of what we're in the middle of. I know I did. And of the others, I think three were at your graduation, and at some of the other events, I still bump into a lot of them. It was exhilarating. I wouldn't have traded for the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really a long process, but it's a focused process where you learn Because, you know, the other thing too, Joe, is that we had these one day a month, the entire day,
right,
was spent on different segments of the marketplace, like government, safety, education, small business, large business. And we crisscrossed the entire county with visits with some of the top leaders in the county, such as, you know, Bob Wise at Hunter Medical Center.
Right.
You know, right over to the president of RVCC. And then we went to very small companies and very small single sole proprietor. So we really got a smattering of a lot of people that are within the county and how they lead their companies, whether, you know, they're mega corporations or the sole proprietorships, whether they're in government or not. So it was a great process.
So if there was one thing you could come away, if in one sentence you could describe what changed in your mind over the last year after going through this program, what might that be?
I think I'm very optimistic about the future and the potential of Hunter County, because one of the things we did learn, Joe, is what does Hunter County have? I mean, you kind of start there. And they really are known for wellness and the quality of life. And one of the things that we had to tackle early on in this idea of innovation, what's innovation and what would fit? And there's certain industries that are just not conducive to well-being and quality, like these large carbon footprint manufacturing facilities. And
right,
one of the things that we did do, Joe, and one of the chapters within our white paper was to look at other like incubators and accelerators and tech parks around the country and try to find out why they worked and why they didn't work. For example, we did do some research on, there's one upstate New York in Saratoga Springs, and they decided to go into like microchip fabrication, but that was because the state gave them, I think, $5 billion to do this, and Rensselaer is there. There's a lot of educational institutions around. But we said, you know, manufacturing is not going to fit in the county. So there's certain things we had to do, Joe, right away. And what I took away from is that there's clearly an opportunity to have like a software development incubator, a technology incubator, something of that size and that environmentally friendly type of a goal in mind. And I think what I learned was is that we're ripe for something along those lines. And the other thing, too, is that we learned that there's an awful lot of technologies in and around the other institutions around the state, like Rutgers, Princeton, Stevens. And I think the count was 860 technologies that are just waiting to find funding and then waiting to find – and then they have to find somewhere to go. And I think 107 of them are in software development. It would be perfect to bring those, one of those or a group of those, here to Hunter County. It's ready. We have all the infrastructure here and ready to go.
Interesting, because the year before we came up with something that I think is still sitting out there, and that was workforce housing. We quickly discovered, as everybody probably knows from watching the news, that the millennials are headed east and the over 65ers are headed west or south, and the people in the middle are getting a little older every year. And I think Bob Wise put it best at Linda Bryant's dinner about 2 months ago, that, you know, our average lifespan at birth is going up a year and a quarter for every year we live. So by 2032, our average lifespan at birth will be 110 years. That's astronomical. That's 15 years from now. We're going to be looking. And he said, now, play it backwards. What does that mean to you? That means we're outliving our money a lot of times as seniors, and we're outliving our children a lot of times. So we have a lot of seniors that are very healthy and are maybe less financially secure than they thought they would be at this point in their life, because they're afraid of the money running out, that need the help of the county. So seniors, fastest growing age cohort, if I'm saying the word right, but the issue we've discovered was it's very expensive to live in Hunterdon County. And if you're going to come into the county and look for work, you also have to look for housing, or else you're going to drive back somewhere else, because there's no mass transportation in Hunterdon County. There's some mass transportation, but not to any great extent. There's no bus lines or train lines. There's the HART system, and then there are some local bus lines that run into Newark and New York. We actually felt there was an acute shortage of workforce housing, and that would be housing just above the affordable living housing, which is state and government mandated, and into the beginning of the free market housing, where, you know, there's no rules. It's just people build houses, people buy houses. That's free market. But we haven't had a lot of starts, either in apartments or in lower-end housing. How do you see that interplaying, if you've discussed it in this paper, with bringing technology into the area?
I mean, one of the things we did look at is the breakout by age in what I was calling an exodus. There's a work inflow and outflow from Hunterdon County.
Right.
And it's, I think the age group, and you cited it too, Joe, that is really most prominently leaving is the 35 to 44-year age group, if you will. But it really starts at 25 when they go away to college, in fact, and they don't come back.
Yeah.
But I think what's going to happen is that a lot of the millennials who are flocking towards the large cities for what they are looking for currently are not going to have that when they want to start families. And I think there's going to be a resurgence back to these rural areas because of the quality of life. It may not be the same people who originally left Hunterdon, right, as you and I had talked about at the dinner, but I think there's going to be a reflux, if you will, back into the county of the older millennials. They'll still be millennials, I guess, but I think they're going to look for a different place to live. And hopefully, if we get this right and we start building the economic engine, if you will, of these tech parks and things like that, I think this will be kind of an accelerator to bring people in to work here, because that's where these software engineers are going to be and want to be.
Agreed.
But also they're going to stay here. They're going to live here.
Right.
And maybe their income will be such to be able to afford it. But you hit on something that's very important, and we didn't touch on it as much in our white paper, is that where are these folks going to live?
Exactly. I had breakfast with Mark Salek last week, and I got on the subject with him. And ironically, the next day I was over in Somerset County, and I'm involved in both chambers very heavily. And I sat down and talked to John Maddox, who I don't know if you met on your tour, but he runs the Raritan Valley Coalition for Job Placement, and he is their Mark Salek, so to speak. And he said to me, he says, Joe, well, think about it. He says, jobs drives everything. And if you have jobs, housing will follow, and then retail and commerce will follow that. But it's almost a paradox, because I think without housing, it's going to be difficult to get people to come here for the jobs. The last thing you'd want them to do is be drive back somewhere else, because eventually they're going to say, why am I driving back and forth? It'd almost be a reverse commute. But so that's a concern. I don't think it's something we can resolve here today. Talk to us a little about the findings of the paper. And I got to admit, I didn't have the time to go through it. I've skimmed through it, but I haven't read every word. So maybe you could sort of paraphrase what your major findings were at a more detailed level, and then we could talk about that a little.
I think it's some of the very high-level findings were that there's an awful lot of technology that's actually already in the county. And you don't have to look any further than the hackathon. I think Judy Goodwin did a wonderful job, and with her and her team, pulling that together. And what that was it was probably a 4 to 6 month process that culminated into a 24-hour marathon coding session, where teams of software technicians, if you will, came together in April to code and build an idea. It's a product idea, and the winner got $5,000. So what this did, Joe, was pulled a lot of these technical software engineer coders from the, lack of better terms, the basements and the garages,
right,
all around Hunterdon County, and brought them together. There's had to be 50 of these guys.
Yeah.
But each one of them, I think there was nine in total, got together with an idea. And these guys may end up getting funding as a result of this competition, because there were some folks involved with deciding and judging that have access through their networks to capital to get them started. So that was one key finding. It's right here.
Yep.
The second thing was that, as I had mentioned earlier, there's over 800 technologies in some high-level institutions around the state that are looking for somewhere to go once they get funding. And thirdly, one of the stops that we made along the way in our education segment, one of the Fridays, was at the Delaware Valley High School. There was the Software Engineering Academy over there.
Yes.
And there were, you know, 9th, 10th, 11th graders who were coding. And I just thought it was phenomenal to watch these kids work together to build, code around a small box, if you will.
Right.
And if they did it right, all these LEDs lit up in sequence, in the right order, and it's right here. So one of the biggest, I think, ahas is that I think we found a segment of the marketplace that fits within the Hunterdon County bucolic, place to live, quality of life. The infrastructure is here in terms of broadband and power, and I believe, if I'm quoting it correctly, there's about a 40% occupancy vacancy rate for industrial space in and around the county. So we have the space, we have the power and the infrastructure being the broadband, and I think we have the talent. We just need the financing for these folks to get the financing, seed capital, whatever it takes. And one of the things in our paper was a roadmap towards the incentives and grants that the state provides for such an endeavor. So I think that was what the high-level kind of aha was, that it's here, the people are here, the technology is here, the infrastructure is here. I think there's just, we need to probably just push it over the finish line and start one of these tech parks or incubators. And again, Joe, it doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be something that looks like Google with glass houses. It just has to be a place for these folks to start getting together and pull together their ideas and take it to the next level where they can continue to get finance. Because, as you know, the seed financing can be provided by the state. But I think as you get private money, venture money, VC money to come in, you have to show and demonstrate that it's commercializable. So, this could start very small. But, 5 years from now, the Hunterdon County could be the tech hub of the state. And the other thing, too, Joe, that was interesting that we learned by looking at the feasibility of some of these other tech parks around the country was that there's typically a corporate anchor. And we have ExxonMobil and we also have Hunter Medical Center, the two largest, technical employers in the country, in the county, rather. And I think that one of the success factors that kind of threaded through, especially the one we found in Atlanta, was that there's a corporate group of corporate companies and entities that are nearby that really want access to whatever it is that these folks are going to produce. So in that case, Atlanta Tech Hub has a fintech and a cybersecurity bend to it, whereas we could have energy and/or healthcare because of these two corporate entities that are here. And I think there's a lot of talent, there's probably a lot of money, and there's a lot of need, because at the end of the day, there's guys and people inside these large corporate entities that are always hunting for the next innovative product to get them ahead, to get them a competitive advantage. So I think there's all these elements are here.
Well, it's interesting because one of the people I interviewed last year was Kim Metz, who's the head of Arvo Tech. We have a different name for it, Polytech, I guess it is. And we're very unique in the state in that we're the only county that our Polytech is embedded into the high school system. So you come into the high school system, you can choose one of about four, including biomed and the computer program, and then you graduate from the high school system, and typically you have enough credits for your first year of college so that you only have to go a summer, a winter, and a summer semester at RBCC and your two-year degree is done. But then it's the crucial crossroads is where do you go from there? If you go on a four-year degree, we discovered that you're probably not going to come back, as we discussed earlier. You're going to go into a New York area job or elsewhere and live in that general area. But if you can get a two-year degree and use it in the area, you're probably going to linger, but that's probably not going to be a high-tech degree. So there's this, we're educating the students right out of the county, and you can't take that away from them. They're grown up, and parents have drummed into their heads, four-year college, you're going to go where I went, to Cornell, or wherever it might have been. Yeah, they're gone, but why can't we attract others in if that's the case? And I think it's one of the things that sort of cross-pollinates between your study and our study is that it's a wonderful place to live, and it's after listening to the people at Exxon talk at the luncheon 2 or 3 weeks ago, it's a wonderful place to work because they've got some of the top talent in the country right here. It's just in research, and we're talking about technology, and with the small footprint that technology has, it's a wonderful industry. The other thing that's interesting is that we do have some technology hubs here in the county. I went through the feed mill, and I worked in technology all my life, and I said, I'm back in Austin, Texas in 99, 2000, which was the dot-com bust. I spent 15 months down there, actually commuted, and it looked just like what we went through in Austin, Texas. These guys were in creative mills in that feed mill, and there were two or three technology companies in there. And then the fellow that does the surge protectors, I met with him and talked with him, and I said, well, there's another one. So Mark did a great job of assembling some of the companies that were here already. But if we look at the high end, New York Life has got a huge facility up in Cokesbury, off of Cokesbury Road, just north of Lebanon in Lebanon Township. And it's a world-class data center that I'm not sure ever got included in some of what we did with the hackathon, or they might have been over helping out as well. So there's a lot here already, I guess is what I'm saying. And at the same time, the idea to bring more here makes perfect sense because I sat through that dinner at the end of the hackathon. I was totally impressed with what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also RVCC just launched, I think it was $11.9 million workforce training center right here in Hunter County, looking at developing trade.
There's a
huge girth and shortage in the trade world, and we need to backfill those folks here in Hunter County. And that, you know, RVCC seized upon the opportunity, knowing that there's going to be this shortage, and I think it's upon us right now.
I think you're right. I know some of theirs is auto technology that they've got in there, and I've met with their people last year as well, and I was very impressed with what they were doing. That whole emphasis is being brought together by local work establishments who were trying to help RVCC and Hunterdon and Somerset County develop the talents we need within the counties so that they don't get educated and leave. They get educated for what we need and stay.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very impressive session, both from... I also sat with the principal of Hunterdon North and Voorhees, and one of the opposite direction problems that we face is loss of student body. And he was telling me a year ago that we're going to lose somewhere around 22% to 24% over the next 5 years of our high school population for a lot of reasons. Some of it's migrated out. We're not having as many children. But that's changing the complexion of the county as well. So I think it becomes one of the things that is going to be a challenge. What else out of the study? Were there milestones that were recommended?
We actually got to key findings, and we decided to let the paper speak for itself.
Okay.
Because there's a wealth of information in there, and in fact, there's basically a roadmap. If you ever wanted to start one of these tech parks, you don't have to do much more than take our paper and just see, you know, what it is we found, the resources that are available, quite honestly.
Okay. So there's a tech park down south of the Amboys on the parkway in, like, where the Arts Center is down there. Was that one of the places you took a look at as part of what was going on? I know Mark was a aware of it anyway, because I mentioned it to him. He said, we talked to them, but he wasn't talking in conjunction with your white paper.
We didn't look into that one necessarily, but we did speak to we convened a dinner with a gentleman at Rutgers University who's in charge of it's an Office of Research Commercialization.
Okay.
And he has there's a similar type of tech park down in New Brunswick on Route 1, a CCIT.
All right.
And it's similar to that where but you know what, Joe, we did find is that it's full. There's one in New Brunswick, and there's also one in downtown New Brunswick. And the other one is out on in East Brunswick, I believe, right out on Route 1.
Right.
But they're full.
Good.
And he was telling me that there's these other technologies that are in his portfolio, and he's trying to help these folks find homes. So I think there's an eagerness to, you know, work with anyone, and it'd be great if they came here, if we provided the right place, and I think we have it.
Oh, I think we do, too. I mean, I get across, my office is now in Warren Township in Somerset County over near Watchung, and so I span the two counties on almost a daily basis, and I talk to both chambers, and I'm involved in the Warren Chamber as well as the Basking Ridge Chamber, and we have a lot to offer, and I think the further west you go, the more bucolic it gets, and the more better the quality of life appears to some people. Some people like the country. Some people would rather live in a more urban. But if you want to turn left at the cows and right at the horses, Hunterdon County is where you're at. To be able to work here, earn a living, and live here is terrific. But I know from a personal level, we're thinking as plus 55ers that, you know, eventually we got to get into one floor living, and we looked at some places in Somerset County, but it's not where we want to live. We want to live in Hunterdon County. We love it here. We've been here going on 20 years, and I understand from talking to you and your wife that you're considering relocating out here in the future. So what we really need to do is bring it from the bottom up. Housing that people can afford, jobs that people can be employed at, and just help the county repopulate itself from through industries like high tech.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of healthcare companies and biotech, and they're nearby, but I think some of the other counties have been more of the center of excellence for those things like Bridgewater,
right.
Princeton. And that just, I think, is the legacy or leftover from the pharma companies that were, you know, once here in a big way.
Right.
So I think there's an opportunity. And the other thing, too, with the conclusion that we had, Joe, if it's like IT and software-based, it's going to be agnostic to the industry because mm-hmm. these folks are going to be coding and building software applications that, you know, are going to have impact around the world. You know, right. developed here in Hunterdon County, you can develop a software or an application, put it up and have it do something in a third world country. So I think the fact that it's agnostic to the industry, we're not going to be living with the sways of, you know, patent expirations where, you know, all those hurt the farm industry
right.
in the last 10 or 15 years. And the telecom has had their issues, and the financial industry has had their issues. But I think something that is going to be sustainable is going to have a breadth of types of IT and innovation types, that it's not going to be tied to any one industry.
Good to hear. I'm looking to see, you know, we're losing, I hear, somewhere about 1.5% of our population each year. And I'm not so sure that didn't go on all the time we've been in existence, but we're not replenishing it at this point. And I'm looking to see that people are starting to move back versus, they call it the receding urban perimeter, which I think Professor, it was written by the Rutgers people, but Professor Hughes this year at one of the luncheons talked about what will change this, what will make people come back. And he had an astute observation. He said in 1995, which is roughly 22 years ago, we knew what the Internet was, but we didn't know what we were going to do with it. He says there's something in our existence right now that's a technology like that, which will be 22 years from now, hopefully sooner, something that brings people back. And he mentioned just one, but I hear it over and over and over. So I think it's the thing to talk about this year is self-driving cars. If people could commute to Hunterdon County without having to drive the car, because we have no mass transportation, it's a little more difficult, very little mass transportation, it's difficult to do, that could be one of the things that brings people back.
Absolutely. I think it's all wide open, Joe.
So we're at an interesting crossroads. We're in one of those beautiful places in the country and definitely the state. We're at a point where we've got the resources that are ready and willing and available, including seed money, as you say. And we've got a town, we've got a set of 26 towns, but a county that is ready to embrace high tech coming in, and it is here in several places, as we've already spoke about. All we need to do is find a few companies to take the leap of faith and give us a try. Do you see this starting at the one-off basis, or do you see this starting as a draw-to-corporation-in basis?
I think it's going to be a ground-up. But I think we need to provide the platform to the place. It's got to be, I envision a place where these folks can all come together, share ideas, to get this company, their company and their idea to the next level where they can get more private money, because they might be able to get grant money through the state.
Right.
So I think, Joe, it's not going to be, it shouldn't be seen as some grandiose, you know, 14-story building that has to be housed and filled to capacity. It's got to be small. I think you start, but start something.
Right, so a bunch of seeds versus one tree.
Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense, and I think that's the way most things get started. I know I developed software for a living, and we always went to New York City to do it, but we didn't have the Internet back then. Now with people working out of their house and on a plane, and I've done all of that since then, you don't have to be where everybody else is. So that's a technology that's going to definitely help somewhere into the future, at least people not having to go. If they do work in New York, they only go in one or two days a week anymore. But the county is ready and willing. It's been studied and found that we have everything needed in order for this to happen. All we need are a few seeds to get planted. And I think that's sort of what Mark Selleck is doing as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I
absolutely.
Know.
I think it's here. And I think with people focused on that, like Mark Selleck, I think it's gonna happen. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I think he's perfect for the job that he's in, and I've already seen the effect of it. So I salute the county for having enough foresight to see that we needed somebody like that. He's our economic development manager, I guess, for the want of a better, and bringing him on. And after a year, he seems to be right on course. I've worked with him and I try to talk with him at least once a quarter in depth, and we did that last week, and he sure seems to be grounded in what he's doing and headed in the right direction. So we've got about 2 minutes left. What would you like to say before we break?
Well, I'd like to thank you, Joe, for always making me think harder and stronger. And you're also a wealth of information about what's happening in around the county. And I'm glad you're expanding your geographic reach into and over into the Somerset County area.
Well, thank you. I think one of the things I heard recently was their head of Chamber of Commerce was speaking about the tax cuts. He said if those tax cuts click, it is his feeling, and he was only talking about Somerset County, but it will overflow to Hunterdon, that we're going to have a building boom here in the next couple of years. And if he's even partially right, I applaud that, because I think that's what we need. We've been treading water or losing a little, and we sort of need a resurgence to happen so that we can look forward and put both the housing and the infrastructure together to support the companies that we need to help this county grow. And Somerset, our sister county as well. It just seems to happen there first.
Yeah, I agree. I've actually was active in the Somerset Chamber partnership as well with you.
Right, that's
and,
right. So
it's interesting how different that county is, but they have the same issues and challenges that we do here in Hunterdon
they
County
do.
As well.
And even I will say at the Hunterdon County in real estate, once we get over 600 pounds, I think it's very challenging to sell our house. Well, we sell them for about 20% more in Somerset County because it's closer to New York. And they don't realize that till about 800 or 900 thousand, but they do have the same problem at the high end. There's not as much of a demand for larger houses because people aren't having. First of all, they're not making what they used to make, and secondly, they're not having the size families we used to have. But it's pushing us down into a new lifestyle, and part of the new lifestyle at Somerset County has the benefit of this. There's train stations over there. We don't have them. If you catch a train here, it takes like, you know, half an hour just to get over to Bridgewater. It's a lot of stops mm-hmm. in between. They can at least run from there into Newark a little better. So I think the two counties are evenly, I wouldn't say evenly, but they are nicely paired, and I think it's just what you want. If you want more square footage and a lot in the same size house, Hunterdon County is the place for you. And if you really like the bucolic lifestyle, is definitely the place for you. But Somerset County is a great place to live as well. Very good, Jim. Thanks for coming on, and I will send you a link to this replay so anybody else who wants to listen in can hear it as well, and hope to see it again at one of our chamber events.
Sounds good, Joe. Thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so that is our end of interview with Jim Lynch, and Jim's with Regional Personnel, and I will give you his phone number one more time. It's 900-534-8113, and Jim can be reached at extension 305 there. Give a call if you'd like. My name is Joe Peters. I'm going to play you my commercial. It still says Weichert. I spent 13 great years with Weichert, just changed for some of the reasons I discussed on the show over to Coldwell Banker, and you'll know a little bit more about me and how to get a hold of me. And we'll be back next week with our Real Estate Matters show, which will give you an update as to what's happening in real estate. Thank you for tuning in.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We're going to continue the discussions within our conference on the differences that we have that we're continuing to try to litigate. Consequently, we will not be on the bill this week.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell announcing they will not be voting this week on the GOP health care plan, saying the bill needs more time to gather the votes necessary to pass. Senate Republicans could only afford two no votes for the passage. The number of dissenting votes increased after a report from the Congressional Budget Office. House Speaker Paul Ryan earlier in the day said he was confident Republicans could get the votes.
I would not bet against Mitch McConnell. He is very, very good at getting things done through the Senate, even with this razor-thin majority.
A wave of cyber attacks hitting Europe, several major businesses and governments dealing with a ransomware attack today. It's especially crippling in the Ukraine, where the deputy's prime minister says the government's central computer network is down. You're listening to USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be